Well, my message today is called Yoked. You're like, what? Yoked. Not, there's no L in it. It's not yoked, it's yoked. And it's a message on soul ties. It's a message on being equally yoked, not unequally yoked. And, you know, when we're yoked with the right people, with the right things, God can bring blessing into our lives. If we're unequally yoked or we have soul ties with the wrong things or wrong people, it can bring crazy dysfunction. Who knows what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
We've been on a similar journey. Why are we teaching on this? Well, I wanted to pick a subject that was really easy for us leading into fasting week. Yeah, whose idea was that? That would be, yeah. And I was foolish enough to listen. You know, if we don't talk about it here, when will we talk about it? If we don't talk about it here, where will you get your truth? Will you get your truth from the internet? A podcast of someone with no covering? A YouTube channel that comes from somewhere? Half of it sounds almost correct? No, we need to go to the scriptures. We need to talk about this in the public space so that we understand what God is calling us and leading us into. You know, if we're silent on this, our silence may be mistaken for agreement with culture. We cannot be silent about the truths in the scriptures. This is why we're teaching on this. You know, we want to help better equip you and us to make godly decisions rather than asking for forgiveness afterwards, rather than trying to seek restoration afterwards. We want to get out in front of this so that we have an easier journey in our relationship with God. So you don't have to pay a spiritual price, an emotional price, or a physical cost that you were never, ever meant to pay. Yeah, I want to encourage you. Maybe you're looking at the tide and you're like, oh, here we go. This is going to be condemning. No, this is not condemning. This is pointing us towards the freedom that God has for us in His scriptures. This may bring some things up inside of you like, ooh, that something needs to be dealt with. Amen, because on the other side of dealing with that is the freedom that God calls you into. Some of the content today may feel a little bit heavy. Some of the words I may use, it's like, I can't believe you said that word in the house of the Lord. We're going to talk about the things that need to be spoken about. It's going to feel heavy or it's going to feel like, ooh, because we don't often talk about these things in public. And these topics are part of the building blocks of your discipleship and new life in Christ. This is why we need to talk about it. So for most of us, when we mention soul ties or being unequally yoked with, we have this response in us. However, the response may be different in all of us, probably because we've lived different lives, lived in different families, been exposed to different things, but it will elicit a response in all of us. You know, the idea of a soul tie, and I'm going to break this down a bit so that we understand, because you've probably heard people pray prayers breaking soul ties. It's like, what does that actually even mean? Like, is God standing there with scissors getting ready? It's like, well, they prayed it. No, it's much more simple than what we may understand in our own minds. You know, can it be a good thing to have a soul tie? Yes, it can be a good thing to have a soul tie. Can it be a bad thing to have a soul tie? Yes, absolutely. Just like everything in life, there's good in certain things, and there's bad in certain things. It depends on how they're used, the heart, the motivation, the attention. Is it in God or is it outside of God's perfect will? You know, a soul tie can bring tremendous blessing, but it can also bring tremendous destruction when made with the wrong person or wrong thing. You know, there are moments where God brings people into our lives and biblically correct soul ties are bought. And we're going to get into this a little bit later. But a soul tie is quite literally the knitting together of two souls that can either bring tremendous blessing, the godly relationship when it's in God, or if it's outside of God, can bring tremendous challenge. You know, the Bible refers to these relationships and described with words like to knit together or to cleave, which means to bring together, to closely follow, to be attached to someone or cling to another as if glued together. You know, you may know what I'm talking about. You may have experienced relationships like this, both godly and ungodly in a sense, of the associations of soul ties. You know, this can be in friendships. It can be in relationships. It can be in God's calling. It can be, are you ready for this? It can be in relationships with food. It can be in relationships with idols. It can be in relationships with work friendships or work relationships were never meant to evolve how they did. It could be with the consumption of media. It could be with the consumption of TV, social media, sports. It could look like codependence. It could look like movies, being knitted together with movies that you know are terrible for your soul, but you just can't break free of them. It's any ideology outside of God's truth, amen. So cleaving yourself to something that is not godly because it makes you feel whole is normally the reason why we're open to having a soul tie that's not of God, because it makes us feel better about ourselves. I've got a little story that I'll share with you in a while about this. You know, in a worldly concept, there's many varied ideas around what this looks like. If you go to some areas of culture and you talk about this, they're like, yeah, how good is it to be tied close to someone? Because they don't understand the other impacts. Psychology has very varied descriptions also around this. But the scriptures call it either being equally yoked or unequally yoked. Let's be clear. You know, unequally yoked is, there's a biblical picture in 2 Corinthians 6:14 that advises against close partnerships with unbelievers. Now, I want to encourage you, if you are in this place and you're married and your partner is not saved today, I've got some really clear, encouraging scriptures around this. No condemnation. God has a plan. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. We'll get to it, but I wanted to get out in front of it so you're not sitting there going, get me out of here as quickly as we, come on, get this over and done with. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, don't be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? If Christ dwells within you, if the Spirit of God dwells within you, it's not saying that you can't have friendships with people. It's about your soul being tied together, yoked together with people who don't believe the same thing as you do, or things that don't line up with God's perfect will for your life. See, it uses the metaphor, yoked together, is actually a metaphor of animals being yoked together. And this is what it looks like to be yoked together in the correct sense. Two oxen, similar size, similar age, yoked together. They look strong. They look like they're, whatever the job is that they're about to do, it looks like they've been brought together to execute. Sounds fair? Yeah. This is a picture of what it looks like to be unequally yoked. Now, you use whatever you've got to use, right? However, one's big, one's small, one's stronger. I don't even know if they think the same. Like the leg stride, it's different. Like how can something that unequally yoked be in unison and outwork it? Now, are they going to get it done? Yeah, they'll get it done. But are they going to get it done with ease? Are they going to get it done? And the person who's directing them is like, that was a fantastic day in the field. Probably not. This is why being equally yoked for us as followers of Jesus with others is so, so important. See, the scriptures gives us this yoked metaphor to say, hey, if you're a believer, being tied to an unbeliever will eventually cause you to fellowship too much with the darkness that those people are associated with. Now, I'm not saying we can't have friends with people who aren't following Jesus. Of course we should, because we've been called to be witnesses to the end of the earth, amen. So yes, we should have, but we're talking about our souls being yoked and tied together. That's a whole nother discussion all together. Should you have friends who aren't unbelievers? Yes, please do. Please do. I'll put a little bracket around that. If you are strong enough in your faith to do so, yes, do so. If you're not quite there yet, be strengthened in the Lord. Be strengthened with friendships and relationships with people who are strong with God, so that when you do have friendships with others, you're not tempted to go back to the old life that God called you out of. Because our soul continues to yearn for the things that we used to, right? You know what I'm talking about. Now, the further you go with the Lord, the less those things call out to us if we deal with them, if we have those ties broken. See, the unevenness of being yoked or glued to someone who doesn't believe what you believe creates imbalance. And more than imbalance, it stops you from progressing in what God has called you to progress in, your relationship, your discipleship with Him. This understanding, it can be applied to close friendships, relationships, partnerships, where there's fundamental differences in core values and spiritual beliefs. So what do? I'm in a marriage and my partner doesn't believe the same thing as what I believe. Let's turn the alarm off. It's not end of days. It's not all over. Like, God has a plan. If you're in a marriage with someone and there's an unequal yoke, breathe. The Apostle Paul has some encouragement for you today. Amen. 1 Corinthians 7, 12 to 14 says this. To the rest I say this, I, not the Lord, if any brother, husband, has a wife who is not a believer and she is willing to live with him, he must not divorce her. And if a woman has a husband who is not a believer and he's willing to live with her, she must not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband. You have power upon you with what you bring to your family. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy because of your relationship with Jesus. Verse 16. How do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, husband, whether you'll save your wife? Don't give up. Pray, intercede that God would do a thing in their life. Amen. Now, for those of you who, I'll say this quickly and gently, if you're in a relationship, spouse, and there's forms of abuse going on, this scripture has some different understanding. And I want to encourage you that there's always a door open to come and speak to your pastor to support you and help you in navigating that. Because this scripture isn't saying that you should just go through your whole life putting up with abuse. That's not what this scripture says. Amen. And so I don't want you to blindly have to go, oh, this is what they've always taught and that's wrong. No. All right? Wage prayer, intercession for your spouse. It's a godly thing. Does this mean that you should, you know, go and seek a marriage partner and then try to get them saved after marriage? If you don't want peace and problems, go for it. If you don't want any peace in your life, that sounds like a great plan. If you want problems, awesome. If, in saying that, does that mean that married life with someone who's a believer is going to be easy? No, there's still challenges. My wife would testify to that. There's still problems. Of course there is. We've come up and been growing in families where not everything's always the greatest and best. Things that aren't always in the perfect order. But God is a good God. And to the hearts of two believers that are humbled, soft before the Lord, say, God, I want your plans and your purposes for my life and my family. Watch what God can do. Watch what God can do. What are some examples of godly soul ties? I want to encourage you. These scriptures, you may not have looked at these scriptures before and go, oh, that's a godly soul tie. 1 Samuel 18, 1 to 4. When David had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was bonded to the soul of David. bonded to the soul. This is a godly soul tie that you're seeing right here. And Jonathan loved him as himself. Saul took David that day and did not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan stripped himself of his outer robe and was wearing and gave it to David with his armor, including his sword and bow and his belt. There was a moment of God moving in their relationship. They came together, united by God, united what God had called them to. Jonathan stood by David as an armor bearer. Amen. This is what we're seeing here. David and Jonathan, they formed a godly covenant, a healthy, godly covenant. They loved each other as much as themselves. Almost sounds like the second commandment that we're called to love others as much as we love ourselves. Amen. That's what it almost sounds like to me. Their souls were healthily knitted together in a biblical sense. It's a beautiful example of what a godly soul tie is. When the love between friends is holy, not contaminated by selfish desires, the tie between them works powerfully in what God has called them to outwork. They were bonded for the purposes of God. Who wants to be bonded to the purposes of God with the people in their world? I know I do. Let's talk about some ungodly soul ties for a moment. I think it's important for us to understand that there is a clear distinction between the both. You know, anyone can become soul tied to family, friends, co-workers, maybe even the leadership that you serve with within your church. And it's imperative that those relationships and close soul ties are in God. It's imperative to examine the health of ourselves. And if we find that things are a little bit out of whack, it's imperative that we go and actually seek counsel. We go and seek the Lord. We go and maybe we need to go to counseling. Maybe we need to go see a professional. Whatever it is, you need to speak to your pastor. Whatever it is, don't just float through with a string of broken relationships and friendships because there's things that we've examined in ourselves and gone, I'll get to it one day. Now, that's not the way God has called us to live. You know, it's important that we don't just examine ourselves, but we examine the people who we're coming into friendship and relationship with as well. Am I talking about judging them? No, I'm not talking about judging them. So if our friendship and we're going to be knitted together, are we equal in the compatibility for that? Are there things in both of us that still need working on, but we're actually journeying forward in the things of God? I'm not talking about being perfect, because if we're seeking perfection, then none of us can be like deeply tied together, right? Our perfection is through Jesus Christ, and that's the main thing. You know, God's plan for marriage is that a man and a woman would be completed together. Their souls become one. This is a union that is spiritual. But as we talk about ungodly soul ties, it's imperative that the people that we're connected to, before you form a covenant relationship with them, like Jonathan and David did, pause and ask a question. Is this good for me? Is this beneficial or is this detrimental to my faith? It's really important to put, and don't feel bad about it. The hope would be that the person on the other side is asking themselves the same question too. This teaching today would not be complete without talking about sexual soul ties. I said it. It's imperative that we talk about these things in the local church. It's imperative. You know, within a biblical marriage, man and woman come together. Two souls are knitted together. Two spirits are united as one. This union is spiritual, physical, and in the souls and emotions of us as well. Knit together, tied together. This is God's plan for marriage. Amen? Anyone agree with that?
Yeah.
You're allowed to put your hand up. It's good. God said it was good. And a soul tie in marriage can be a wonderful blessing. Wonderful blessing. It's God's plan for his people who come together as married couples. But a soul tie outside of marriage, well, that's a whole another ball game right there. You know, if you are married and you create a soul tie with someone outside of marriage sexually, get ready for some crazy things to start happening in your world. If you're single and you form sexual soul ties with multiple people. You might think, oh, no, it's just sex. It's not just sex. There is a soul tie that is formed every time you have sex with someone. Right now, I say this to encourage you towards freedom. If you have had multiple sexual partners, you have soul ties between multiple people. You are connected spiritually and physically to every single person that has been involved in that. There is freedom for you from that. God can break those ties. Amen. God is good. See, these soul ties, however, they don't start with sex. That's a huge part of it, but it doesn't start there. They start way before. They start with friendships that go too far. They start with co-workers whose emotions are awakened. They start with letting down your guard when your guard should not be let down. They start with messing around with controlling habits that lead to substance addictions and financial concerns. My encouragement to you today is catch it early. Catch it early. If you don't have the strength to catch it early yourself, you need to get strong Christian people around you who can help you catch it early. Don't go down a path that God has never willed for you. This is the will and plan of the enemy. Catch it early. Now, be encouraged when the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from the appearance of evil. The appearance of evil. It's not even talking about abstain from doing evil. The appearance of it. You know, there's a reason why you won't see me out at a cafe in the city of Geelong or anywhere else on the planet having a one-on-one pastoral meeting with a female. There's a reason for it.
Yeah.
I am tied to my wife, and the emotions will not be tied to anybody else. The appearance of evil. Can you imagine? Just imagine I'm sitting unpacking the street, having a coffee, a little latte, almond latte, and you're walking past and you're like, why is Pastor sitting with a wife, a woman that's not his wife?
Yeah.
The appearance of. Why do I say that? You know, if you're going out and having lunch during your lunch break at work, uni, and you're sitting with someone by yourself who is not your spouse, rethink it. Catch it early. It will get complex. I can guarantee you it will get complex. Anyone understand what I'm talking about today?
Yep.
I'm sure there's many of us sitting in this place like we've had to deal with this stuff. And why do I say that? If you are sitting there right now thinking I'm the only one, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands today, but I guarantee you it's not just your hand that's going up. You with me today?
Yep.
It's a clear directive not to toy around with the idea of or the appearance of anything that can tie you up in your soul and rob you of God's perfect will. Instead, God calls us to James 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Our hearts, our souls need to be focused towards God and his plans and his purposes. See, you know, God's idea of health, healthy souls, it sounds a little bit like this. Genesis 2:24. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be unified to his wife and they'll become one flesh. This is a beautiful picture of a healthy soul tie. This is God's perfect example. Bind your soul to God's promises. If I can give any direction today, bind your soul to God's promises. Watch the blessing that comes when you bind your soul to God's promises. You know, the world's idea of normal, however, looks like this. You're like, why are you saying this, Pastor? 1 Corinthians 6:16 says this, do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her body, for it is said, the two will become one flesh. The same promise from Genesis 2:24, but not bound to the right thing. And you're like, Pastor, why are you even bringing up this scripture in the middle of a church service? Do you realize this is the house of God? How would you even verbalize this scripture? Let me tell you right now, within our culture, this has been normalized. How many people work with someone that regularly goes to do this? I've worked with people. I've had people in courses that I've run. This behavior is normal. You ask an 18-year-old or a 19-year-old right now who's gone to see a prostitute and formed a soul tie. They put their hand up and say, yeah, I've done it. Culturally, there is no problem with it. Let me tell you, spiritually, with our souls, we should have a major problem with it. It's not God's promises and best for our lives. Now, I've spoken to 18 to 25-year-olds outside of the church, and in today's culture, they are confused as to why we even have an issue with this, because it's been so normalized through social media and friendship groups just letting down their guard. See, within a Christian marriage, a husband and a wife becoming one is holy and sacred as a covenant before God. It's a blessing from God. The spirit, the soul, the body, emotions connected. It's much more than just a physical connection. Anyone who tries to just explain it away and justify it, it's just physical. Oh, come on. No, it's not. No, it's not. You are yoked together. You are tied together, knitted together at the soul and spirit when this happens. See, when we tie our souls to the desires of our own hearts, the potential outcomes aren't just upsetting. The potential outcomes are both spiritual, emotional, and physical. You join yourself to the other person's spiritual, emotional, physical selves, the issues that they carry, the issues that they have in their hearts and their mind. You join yourself to those as well. Bind your soul to God's promises. Bind your soul to God's promises. I've got a story about my unholy soul tie. This is my moment. You with me? I'll put myself out there. My unholy soul tie moment. This is real. At the time, this was such a big thing for me. It's a late teen relationship. Was out of school. And the friendship itself was not bad. However, the intent, the codependency, particularly from me, was completely out of balance. I distinctly remember, walking into church after being into the relationship for a little while, feeling this deep uncomfortableness in my gut. Now, how we interpret these moments, it really matters. Naivety could interpret this as church is a bad place, turn around and walk away, because I've got that feeling as I'm walking into church. It would have been naive of me to think that. I knew deep down, it's like, oh, this feeling is real and this feeling's for a reason. It wasn't the pizza that I had last night. It was indeed the Spirit of God getting my attention. Yeah. Who loves those moments when God just tries to get our attention? Sometimes we love them, sometimes we're like, oh, I didn't hear you, Lord. Was that you? See, I didn't listen. And then a wise pastoral counselor came to me and passed on a word of encouragement. Someone who I respected, they were for God, for the kingdom, for raising the next generation of disciples. And as they came to me, they're like, God has clearly spoken to me. And he's asked me to pose this question to you. Is the relationship that you're in part of God's plan for you? I didn't listen. My soul was tied in dependency. See, the dependency to feel good about who I was because of who I was with. It was for the wrong reasons. I had an emotional disconnection with my family, and this connection felt good. It's the first time I experienced good connection, but my behavior was just like, I'm so dependent on this. My world revolves around this. It was in need of some healthy function and correction. Needless to say, Naomi and I worked through this. No, it wasn't Naomi. It was somebody else. See, that relationship I had with that person had the potential to implode or explode, but God used it to teach me, taught me to go back and also fix the fallout from an unhealthy soul tie. In hindsight, I would have preferred not to go through it. Who would have preferred not to go through things similar to this? Of course, we would prefer not to. But God used it to teach me, to grow me. However, not all soul ties are that forgiving. Not all soul ties are that forgiving. The decision we make can be a blessing and connect us well, or the fallout can be painful. Painful in our souls, painful in our minds. I needed to be set free, not from the relationship. I needed to be set free from codependency and the reason for my codependency. What do you need to be set free on, and what's the reason that you need to be set free from it? You can look at this and say, oh, I need to deal with this. Where did that come from? What was the originator of that? What that needs to be cut. That needs to be healed. That needs to be restored, not the behavior that we outwork. Amen. What are some questions to ask yourself? How are we going for time? It's almost 3 p.m. What are some things that we need to ask ourselves before making healthy covenant friendships with others? And maybe we need to ask these questions about others and about ourselves too. Is the person a compromising person? Are they going to compromise my faith? Or am I going to compromise their faith? Is it their way or no way?
Wow.
Maybe we need to ask ourselves that. Is it my way or no way? Are they self-centered? Is there selfishness that fulfills a lot of what they do? Or is there selfishness like it has to be like this? There is no flexibility. Let me tell you, if there is any form of selfishness, we must humble ourselves. We have to be humble towards each other. That is the only way relationships work, but particularly relationships where there's meant to be a knitting together. Are they givers or takers? Are they going to take all of your emotional self, or are they going to give some of their emotional self as well? So important. And lastly, or second to last, are they saved and walking with Jesus? You know, young person, you might see someone's like, this could be the person. Are they saved and walking with Jesus? Not do they go to mass once a year. Not do they go to church once a month because their parents say come to church or move out. Are they saved and walking with Jesus? If they're not, it doesn't mean that it's all for loss. It means that you need to go to your prayer closet and start praying before you make any decisions, before you make any connections. Lastly, are they controlling or manipulative? We need to ask it of ourselves as well. You need to be aware of controlling and manipulative people. It never stops. It only grows. Amen. Now, when we make decisions to be bonded to another person, are our motives godly? That soul tie will most probably become healthy and godly if our motives are holy and pure unto God. A couple of quick more examples. I'm going to move on. Of godly soul ties. In marriage, we see this beautiful scripture that's used in all weddings. If this wasn't in your wedding, did you even have a wedding? Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 12. Two are better than one because they have a more satisfying return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and does not have any other to lift him up. Again, if two lie down together, then they can keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And though one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. The third cord? You've been to weddings. It's a picture of two people, a husband and a wife, who are knitted together, focused on the mission, focused on each other in all rhythms and in all seasons of life. They are each other's protectors. This is the beauty of a godly soul tie. In the example of the church, it says this in Matthew 18, again, I say to you that if two believers on earth agree, that is, are of one mind and in harmony about anything they can ask within the will of God, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. It's God's desire that believers are united together in faith, relationships. Like, God, we want everything you've got for your kingdom. See, God desires for the church to be a powerful church. He desires to see explosive exploits because we're united in purpose. We're in unity. God blesses those who commit to the unity of the kingdom. Amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.